Well, I want to say thank you so much for having me, Sarah, here today. I've heard a lot from a lot of people that there's excitement that we're here, but I just want to respond with we are equally excited to be here and thankful for you inviting us to do that. So I want to invite you to go ahead and turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 this morning. We're going to be in the first few verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I want to title the message today, I think you have it in your bulletin here, The Power of the Gospel, and I just want to finish that clause and say the power of the gospel is enough. The power of the gospel is enough, and that's what I want to speak on today. I think that's what we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. So if you are turned there, I think it'll be on the screen, and I wanted to fit it all just where you can see the whole picture. Hopefully you can see it. If you can't read it, hopefully you have a Bible there in front of you. Would you just stand with me as I read the text this morning, just to revere God's word as we do that? This is what God's holy word says. And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words or wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Amen. God bless the reading of His Word. You can be seated. Thank you so much. I picked this text this morning to share with you for a number of reasons, really two major reasons why I think this is the text that I wanted to make my first, hopefully of many, but if not, certainly I want this to be preached to you for a number of reasons. First is, this text emphatically talks about man's weakness, and in doing so, really elevates God's greatness. The lower that we see ourselves in our depravity and sinfulness, that much greater do we see the awesomeness and glory of God. And this text, one reason why I picked it is because it emphatically talks about man's weakness and in doing so elevates God. I think the temptation, maybe for you all this morning, as this is my candidating sermon, is that your eyes would be on me and focused on the preacher. And it's easy to do that. You've never heard me preach before, and you're trying to analyze things about me. You might be considering, is he energetic? Is he humorous? Or is he more serious, right? I mean, that you're maybe thinking through these things. Is he a good storyteller? How many stories does he include? Or is he dry and boring? Does he keep our attention? Is he relatable? I think these are all natural tendencies when you listen to any preacher, but certainly on a day when he's candidating. And these are all good things to know about your preacher, and maybe you can find those things out about me even this morning. But I'll be completely candid with you and honest. My desire, as much as possible, my goal is to take your eyes off of me and point you to a greater and more glorious being that is God. And so that's my hope, that's my desire, and so I picked this text because it talks about my weakness as a preacher and God's greatness as a good God. And so that was one reason why I picked this text. Another is the incredible truth that Paul teaches in this text. It's a big thing to say, but I believe it. I think what Paul teaches here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the first five verses, I think it really the truth he's teaching in here is foundational to Paul's ministry. It's foundational to his preaching and his approach to evangelism. It's foundational for Paul. What he teaches in these few verses, and I want it to be foundational for my ministry. And this truth is this, that the power of the gospel is enough. This is foundational to Paul, and he teaches it in these verses. The power of the gospel is enough. And I want that to be foundational today for me in my ministry, setting that precedent. The power of the gospel is enough to attract people. We don't have to add bells and whistles to the gospel to make it look appealing to people. The power of the gospel is enough to attract. The power of the gospel is enough to convict. We don't have to beat someone with the Bible over their head and tear them down and chew them out with guilt and shaming. The power of the gospel is enough to convict sinners. The power of the gospel is enough to bring sinners to repentance and see their unworthiness before an incredible God. The power of the gospel is enough to raise them to new life. You and I certainly can't do that. We can't bring anyone to Christ. We can't bring ourselves to Christ. But the power of the gospel is enough to do that for us. The power of the gospel is enough to persevere us through all hardships. We don't need mugs that tell us laughter is our fuel through life and you just need to laugh more. We don't need those pithy statements hanging on our walls. What we need is the power of the gospel, because the power of the gospel is enough to endure us through life and all that comes with it. The power of the gospel is enough to grow a church. We don't have to adopt everything that society would do to bring in people and make masses of crowds, because the power of the gospel is enough. I think you're catching the point that I'm trying to make here. The power of the gospel is enough. It is. And I want to stand on that truth, because I think Paul stands on that truth. Here, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the first few verses. Like Paul, I think all preachers such as myself and all churches such as Emmanuel Baptist should stand firmly on the truth that the gospel is enough. We should have that rooted deeply in the guts of who we are and what we believe. I'll tell you a first personal story here. I'll tell you a story about a date I went on with my lovely bride, Sarah. I took her to I don't know how to describe it, this like ropes course that's suspended over a room indoors, right? And so you climb up these stairs, and there's this rope course, there's this platform, and you can walk around all these swinging steps, right? You know what I'm talking about, and rope bridges, and you're suspended over like an arcade area. And I took Sarah on this date, and something you need to know about me is I am petrified of heights. I'm terrified. I mean, I can climb four rungs up the ladder, and I'm shaking, holding on to the ladder. So I don't know why I picked this date idea, but I did. We go up there, and to start on the ropes course, there's this solid concrete platform. It's standing on pedestals. It's bolted down. There's no way this platform's going anywhere. But I'm up high enough, and there's no railings. And so I'm on all fours, and Sarah's just standing there, I think embarrassed of her husband and the fear that I'm obviously making known to the entire room. And I'm just on my hands and knees on this platform. We're not even on the swinging bridge steps yet. And I'm just trying to grab onto anything that I can. I think in the same way, if we don't trust the firmness and the steadiness of the good, solid foundation of the gospel, if that's not rooted within us, and that the gospel's enough, we're going to be reaching to grab onto anything else that we can. And a lot of the times, that's ourselves, our own abilities to persuade and attract people, our own abilities to fill a church, our own abilities to woo people and make them interested, and in doing so, compromising on the gospel that it's enough. We should stand firmly on that foundation. And so this morning I want to point you to this foundational truth, that the power of the gospel is in fact enough. It is. And in doing so, I want to look at how Paul believed that. The Apostle Paul, I want to look at how he did believe that. So the rest of the sermon, the rest of the time that we have this morning together, I want to ask that question. How did Paul trust the gospel to be enough? How did he show that to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2? And I think it's a simple and easy answer. He demonstrated that the gospel is enough, and he believed it to be true in his preaching, in his proclamation of the word. He trusted that the message of Jesus alone was enough to bring people to Christ, to a saving knowledge of who he is. His preaching was structured based on that foundation. And so if we have the text, I'll just give you a general structure of this text, and we're going to walk right through it. The first two verses, verses 1 and 2, I think he just lays out his strategy to preaching before he even shows up. He knew this is what he was going to do and how he was going to go about preaching when he showed up to the church in Corinth. Verses 1 and 2, he lays out his strategy, his approach. When he goes to preach, this is what I'm going to do. And then verses 3 and 4 teases out how this looks practically when he was there, when he started preaching. This is what it's going to look like because of my approach that I've shown you in verses 1 and 2. So that's what we're gonna walk through this morning. So I'm going to reread verses 1 and 2 here, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. He says, "And I, when I came to you, brothers, I didn't come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided beforehand," he decided, "I'm going to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified." So he comes proclaiming the testimony of God, and he had to decide how he was going to do that. So first we have to consider, what is the testimony of God that he was going to proclaim? What is the testimony of God? Well, I think 1 John chapter 5 makes that pretty simple. I think I have it up. I might not on the screen. I'm sorry. I don't know if I do or not. 1 John chapter 5, verse 9. I'll just read it to you because I don't have it marked in my Bible. Here we go. If it's not on the screen, this is what he says. Oh, it is. Good. "If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God." Thank you, John. "This is the testimony of God, that he was born concerning his son." So the testimony of God is the testimony of Jesus Christ and his mission going to the world to save lost sinners. This is the testimony of God, the story of Jesus. So if we go back to the text, we know that the testimony of God that Paul is preaching is everything that's wrapped into Jesus coming to this earth. So the testimony of God is that we are a sinful people, and without God, we are headed for eternal wrath and damnation. This is the testimony of God, that we are sinners and we are in need of a Savior. This is the testimony of God. The testimony of God is that God became man, and he lived a life that we couldn't live. He died a death that we deserved, took our place, conquered that death, and in his own resurrection gave us hope for our own spiritual resurrection in this life and physical resurrection for all of eternity. This is the testimony of God. And Paul went preaching that, proclaiming that. And the way he would proclaim the testimony of God, the story of Jesus, and the gospel for mankind was structured and based on, dictated by two things. One, he knew that he wouldn't be doing it with his own impressiveness and skills. He wasn't going to do that. He decided it. And two, he knew that it would be specifically focused on Jesus and him crucified. He was going to keep it simple. He was keeping it on Jesus. He knew I'm not going to try to steer away and start making these arguments and try to convince with this. No, I'm going to talk about Jesus. I'm going to talk about Jesus. And that was his strategy. Paul's strategy in preaching was shaped by the complete trust that the good news of Jesus was enough. Paul shaped his preaching around that. And whenever he started preaching, he lived this out. And we see that in verses 3 and 4. If we go back, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, he says, "When I was with you, So this is him, and now he's going to start living out that strategy. I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. So first, how he lived out that he trusted the gospel was enough when he preached. The first way that he lived that out was that he was brutally aware of his own insufficiency. He was brutally aware of his own weakness. He says, I was with you in weakness and fear and much trembling. Paul knew he wasn't enough. And one way that you and I can trust and live out that the gospel is enough is that we are regularly reminded of our insufficiency and need for the gospel. I can relate to Paul here, certainly right now. Much fear and trembling. But I do want to say, this is true of me. This is good for you to know. I think you already know it, but let me just reiterate what you already know. I am a human. I am flawed. I make mistakes. And I will fail you at times. We got it out there. I'm like Paul. I'm in fear and much trembling. I'm human and I'm flawed. The best thing that I can do for you is point you to a God who won't fail you, who isn't flawed, who will never leave you or forsake you. I might be, but the good news isn't about me or your pastor. The good news is that he can point you to the God that is. And so if you, I talked about myself, now let me talk to you, give you some personal introspection, self-reflection. If you are to rely on the gospel alone in your life and not rely on yourself, you should be aware of your own weakness and your own insufficiency. Because the second that we start thinking we don't need God, that we're not weak, we start grabbing for other things to trust in and rely on, and we no longer think that we need the platform that is firm and steady under our feet. I want you to hear this morning that you are weak. You are in need. You are insufficient. I am as well. But God is not. And I want to point you to him. You need him, and I need him. Paul, wanting to proclaim and trust himself that the gospel is enough, that it's enough to save and bring in the church in Corinth to a saving understanding of who God is. Paul wanting to trust that and teach that. He first wanted to regularly remind himself and others of his own insufficiency and that the power was not in himself, but that he was a weak man. The second way that we see that he lived out in his preaching that the gospel was enough is that he didn't base his sermons on his own wisdom, but on the wisdom of God. That is the Word of God. That sermon should be rooted in, based on, and walking through this, not what's up here for me. He didn't base his sermons or his preaching, his proclamation on his own wisdom. It says that he didn't use plausible words. This same phrase, plausible words, and in the Greek as well, is in Colossians chapter 2. I think it's verse 4. I don't have it noted here. Colossians chapter 2, verse 4, plausible speech is also used. And we see in that plausible speech, what Paul's talking about here is really persuasiveness and convincing arguments. Paul said, no, I'm not going to rely on that. No. There's something so much greater to pull you in to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and it's not my own persuasiveness. It's not my own arguments that I can conjure up. No, it's Jesus Christ and him crucified. It's the power of the Holy Spirit, and I'm just going to preach that simply. So he said, I'm not going to rely on my plausible speech, my wisdoms, but I'm going to set all of that aside, and instead, I'm going to trust in the Holy Spirit to speak through me, to convict hearts, to transform lives as he just preaches the simple gospel. That was his strategy, and that's how he lived it out. He wanted to present the simple gospel, even the hard parts, the challenging part, the part where we're called to self-sacrifice. He's going to just lay it all out there and believe more in the Holy Spirit to draw them in with that than trusting himself with however he could try to get somebody to believe in the power of God. Now, naturally, you or I, we may ask, what kind of plan is that, Paul? What are you thinking? What kind of plan is that? Why wouldn't you take matters into your own hands just to get them to pray the prayer? Say the words. Why? You're going to lose them, Paul. Why would you just be blunt and clear and upfront from the very beginning and just trust the Holy Spirit? Why wouldn't you take matters into your own hands? Paul, why wouldn't you candy coat it to make it a little more appealing? Why wouldn't you compromise just a little bit? Make it a little less challenging at the beginning and then, you know, kind of work into that later on. Paul, why wouldn't you hide the die to self part? Maybe say at the beginning that it really doesn't require much, and then whenever they start to fall in love with him, then say you have to give your whole life. Paul, why don't you trust, why are you trusting completely in the power of God? Why don't you take this in your own hands? Paul, you're going to lose them. If we're being honest, that might be our natural thoughts with this strategy that Paul has. And he gives his reason why he doesn't trust in himself. He's going to trust in the power of God when he's being completely clear about what the gospel is. He's going to trust that God will still bring people to their knees before God in repentance to love Jesus with all that they are. He's going to trust in the Holy Spirit. He gives his reason why he would do that, why this is his strategy, and it's in verse 5. So that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. His strategy, his not candy coating it, his not compromising, his just being clear about the gospel and trusting that God's going to work through that, was because he wanted their faith not in him, but in God. When he removed his wisdom and his persuasion and his attractiveness, his wooing skills, whatever he might have, when he removes all that and he presents a simple gospel that God saves sinners and wants eternal relationship with him, when he preaches Christ's love and his mercy and his call to complete sacrifice and entire surrender, when he does that, and when listeners would commit their lives to Jesus, hearing that, to a gracious God and daily service to him and sacrifice to him, when that would happen, there would be no denying that this was the miraculous power of God to save that person and bring them into relationship with God. There's no denying. There's no way that Paul could say, well, maybe it was that I did this or that I kind of did this for it. Maybe it was a little bit of me. No, it was entirely on the power of God. Have you ever had those experiences in your life where there's no question it was God? There's just no question. You ever had that? My in-laws, Sarah's parents, Tammy and Carlton, they had this time a few years back and where both of their cars, within just a week or two of each other, completely broke down and needed massive repairs. That wasn't in their budget. They had no way of figuring out how are we going to deal with this. And just randomly, someone came up and said, hey, this wasn't me. This wasn't from me. Someone said, this needs to be given to you. I'm just the messenger. Gave them an envelope. They opened it up, and it was the exact amount that they needed to pay for both cars, completely repaired, There's no way that that was anything other than God. Amen? That's the power of God, that all other rationale was put aside, and it was clearly no exceptions. It had to have been God. And that's the way Paul wanted to preach. Paul wanted to present the gospel clearly and boldly so that there was no explanation, but God was working in that person's heart. Why? Because the power of the gospel is enough. Paul knew that. I want us to know that this morning. I want that to be deeply rooted into who you are and what you live out in your life. The power of the gospel is enough, brothers and sisters. So, in concluding remarks, I want to say, firstly, to you all as a church, Emmanuel Baptist, as a whole, Jesus is enough. It's that clear. I want to be simple with that. Jesus is enough to capture lost sinners in a distracted world. Jesus is enough to keep you through the hardships that you're going through right now and you will see in the future. He's enough. He's enough to have your attention and your affections every single day of your life and your loved ones. He's enough to draw them in and keep them attracted to the gospel for their entire lives. He's enough. And he's enough to grow his church, transform communities and nations. To Emmanuel Baptist, I want to say Jesus is enough. To the individual, I want to speak to you now personally. If your own trust is wavering, and your own trust that he is enough to endure you, to sustain you, to bring in your family members to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, if your faith isn't in his power, and his power alone, but instead maybe your own power, if you are like I was on that platform trying to trust in yourself to stabilize yourself rather than just trusting that Jesus is enough, I want to speak to you and say, hear me. You are insufficient. I am insufficient. I'm not enough for you. You're not enough for yourself. But God is. And his power is enough for all of your needs. So turn to him and trust him. Maybe renew your faith that he is a powerful God and he is a good God to stand firmly on. He cares for his people. Trust in that. Maybe renew your faith in that today. And if that is you, and this is speaking directly, penetrating your heart, the Spirit is speaking to you, I would love to pray with you at the end of this in just a few moments. I'll stand down, and I know Gary will be here as well for prayer if you'd like to pray with him. Would you join me this morning as we just bring this before God, that he would penetrate our hearts with this message and keep it in our hearts moving forward. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we know that you are, in fact, enough. Maybe intellectually we might know that. We've heard that. We've been taught that. But Jesus, right now, would you just maybe help us live that out? Live that knowledge out and trust that knowledge. Maybe emotionally, God, would you just give us strength to believe what we know, that you are enough? God, would you be with Emmanuel Baptist to trust that you are enough? And would everything, all the functions of this church, be rooted in that? That you are enough. That the gospel is powerful. That the gospel changes lives. God, would you root that in us? Be with us this morning. Be with your church. We pray all this in your name, your precious name, Jesus. Amen. Amen.